Hey guys, welcome back to the Black and Bold podcast, where we talk about relevant news and interesting topics each week. You're listening to us now on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I'm Nishan.
I'm Luxon.
And before we begin our weekly topic, we're going to go into our news segment, starting with the newly elected Namibian president has ties to UConn. So apparently UConn has now spread across the world as Nangolo Mumba, class of 73, has been sworn in as the fourth president of Namibia following the recent death of the former one. Prior to UConn, he received his BS at Central Connecticut State, so he's been here for a while he got his master's in science right here and then made his way back to Namibia. According to UConn Today, he has previously been in many Namibian leadership roles, such as vice president, minister of agriculture, finance, education, and much more.
All right. Well, it's definitely good to hear that UConn got another W. Can't get enough of those. You know, we now have a now UConn alum who is the president of Namibia. That's pretty big for us.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to say that country. Like, Namibia, it's such a weird country to say. But regardless, I am glad that, like, this has happened. You know, it's great hearing UConn alum doing great things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great seeing UConn's influence has spread across. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is going to amount to anything, though, because I know he's from Namibia and his ties and priorities are obviously going to be to that country. Mm-hmm. But maybe, like, you know, maybe he'll do something with UConn.
Yeah, maybe he'll send a sizable donation to us. Who knows? You know, like, what was it that we talked about in one of our prior episodes, how was it Clark was sent? You remember the episode we were talking about? A college received a sizable donation from that couple.
Oh, yeah, that HBCU.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Spelman.
Spelman. That's the one I'm thinking about.
Yeah, that would be so great if that happened. But, like, bottom line, I'm just glad of all places it's an African country. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, such a W, like a
pretty big win.
Yeah, for you know, Mother Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll move on very quickly. You know, like, hope everything goes well in Namibia. But moving on to a bunch of music news, starting with Drake and Sexy Red. You take it away.
All right, so Drake recently released a new music video for his song Rich Baby Daddy, which showcases Sexy Red having a baby shower or some party until her water breaks during the video. And later she's giving labor in the video. It's not, of course, shown, but they're clips of audio and things of that nature that allude to her giving birth. And at that point, Sexy Red's second child is now born. And I think he is shown at some point in that video. He's rumored to be a boy. And yeah, that was just a very interesting concept for a music video when it came out. Also, Sexy Red tweeted at Drake and joked if it would be wrong to put Drake on child support since he was taking on the father role for a lot of that labor right there. And Drake also kissed her pregnant belly. I'm not going to lie. Drake is a man of many... Many just, oh my God. He's a very interesting guy.
Yeah.
He's
wild,
I'll say.
Yeah, many sides. Because there's like a hint to possible Drake Sexy Red relationship. I don't buy, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I remember there was this post a little bit ago a post showing Sexy Red on Drake's lap, I think, and then she was kissing him on the cheek. So, I mean, there have been, you know, little implications prior. And
yeah,
I'm sure those rumors are running wild.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. Like, you know, the celebrities be all over the place. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, there is evidence, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's all just, like, I don't know, just ratings type shit. Mm. Like, but at the same time, yeah, like Sexy Red, like, and we already talked about Sexy Red in our last video and how she was doing all that dancing and twerking and all that. But, like, here's.
Like she usually do.
Of course. And this video shows her pregnant at the hospital. And it's an interesting video to say the least, but what more can we expect from Drake?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It may be just music video of the year, because that concept right there is, it was straight out of just left field.
Yeah, he pulled that out of his ass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just strange to me. Like he kissed her belly, bro.
Yeah, that's just weird. SZA was also a part of that music video as well. I forgot to mention her.
Yeah, but like SZA was kind of like, she was like a good part of the video, but it's like, I mean, she wasn't the main focus.
She was there vibing. I feel like Drake and Sexy Red were a lot more involved in that whole video as a whole.
Yeah, like I won't say it's been a lot, but you know, Drake has been collabing with SZA lately. Like, because you remember, I think it was, the beginning of For All the Dogs, like how she was like, I forgot the
name. Slime Me Out?
Yeah. So like maybe hints to something right there, not like relationship wise, but like
maybe like a Drake SZA album or just a project with them on the way, because they've been cooking a lot together.
Oh yeah, but like still though, like I'm not gonna lie, I don't mean to be that guy, but Drake kissing like Sexy Red's like belly, kind of like cuck activities.
Yeah, I wonder what that baby daddy or that rich baby daddy is doing now.
You think that Drake would actually, like, if he were, like, if they were in a relationship, he'd actually care for the child? He'd be, like, the stepdad or whatever?
Honestly, I don't see them in a relationship, so I'm going to say no.
Fair enough. Yeah, but moving on, Kanye finally dropped, like, Vultures this past Saturday.
Yeah, he's been teasing it for too long now. For months and months, he's been delaying the release for, how many times was it?
Like two.
I think it was, like, three, something like that.
Something in that ballpark. It was two or three.
Too damn many times.
Yeah, and he also, like, was making such a big show over it. Like, he was gassing it up, having a party over it. And he said he was going to come out with an apology video before that, like before he released the video. Mm-hmm. And I still have yet to see it, so we don't know if he just canned that or he's just saying that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Vultures has multiple parts to it, so we are expecting a part two. So maybe we can get that video sometime before that comes out, but we'll just see what Kanye decides to do.
Is Donda 1 and Donda 2 all over again? Nah, but
yeah.
It was initially released on Apple Music and then made available on Spotify a little bit later. It had been taken off of Apple Music recently, but just a couple hours ago, back on.
Yeah, literally an hour ago, it got put back on.
How do you feel about the album so far? I haven't listened to all of it, but I've listened to some of it with you, of course.
Honestly, I don't feel like he really took the album too seriously. I feel like when I was listening to the songs, it sounded unfinished and it didn't sound like he was really just putting in the effort that he should have or that he's done for other projects. So I feel like he was just playing around for this album a little bit. But I wonder how part two is going to look. For the album as a whole, rating it, I would give it about, I give it a 6 in my opinion. It started off atrociously, but it started to pick up near the end of the album, in my opinion. So there definitely were a good few songs that I put in my playlist.
I mean, like, the theme of unfinished, like, Kanye albums starting to be, like, a recurring pattern.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know what happened. He was out in the desert just working on the album, and he was alone, too, just cooking in the desert trying to work on the album, and it still sounded just unfinished and very raw and lighthearted.
I wonder what it is. Is he running out of steam? Is he doing it for like hype, or like is it just laziness?
I think it's just laziness. I think he's to the point where he just wants to troll now, and
he's
already established himself as a pretty big player in the industry, and he's now in that position where he could just troll and play around with his next few projects or albums if he really wanted to. And I feel like he played around with Vultures, the first one, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully he comes to redeem himself in part two.
Yeah, the first, like, I've only listened to the first couple of songs, and it's been quite a ride, I'll say that. Mm. Some of those lyrics are awful. They're, like, egregious. Like the fucking Papa John's, like, one. Mm-hmm. Nah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like he was just stitching together random lyrics and just hoping something would just stick.
Yeah, like, I remember one of the songs, like, is from, like, forgot the name of the movie, but, like, one of the lyrics is, like, guys like me don't fall out of the sky. And then, like, later on, the music, it says, like, okay, forgive me because it's Safe Harbor, so y'all can't say shit about it. But it was, like, big titty, like,
he,
big.
Oh, I know. It's yeah. Beautiful big titty women don't fall out the sky. I'm not going to lie. That shit was hard. Yeah. Although he was fucking around, that shit was hard, nigga. That shit was hard.
But, you know, that was very interesting. Said beautiful big-titted woman. But, anyways, overall, I hope it does get better because I am not the biggest fan of it so far.
Yeah, I feel like that song was shout out to Drake for all the dogs. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and unfortunately for America, the Kansas City Chiefs are our 2024 Super Bowl champions.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Our greatest nightmare has been realized.
Yes. That's what I'm saying, bro. America is just, it's just been a whole L for the country, except for that one pocket of nowhere. But anyways, to summarize, the Chiefs defeated the San Francisco 49ers in overtime this past Sunday with a final score of 25-22. After trailing by 10 in the first quarter, Chiefs made a solid comeback to tie the game. And at the end of the regular period, in overtime, the 49ers threw away a great opportunity to make a touchdown, and they settled for a field goal. But the Chiefs kind of pulled some magic at the very end. They were at like a 3-1 and made a huge, and Mahomes like penetrated through like the field, giving them the perfect opportunity to score a touchdown later on.
Yeah, I am beyond frustrated with the 49ers because I watched that whole game from start to finish, and they were hoeing themselves.
I know. They sold
badly.
Hard.
It was, oh my God. They had such a good lead on the Chiefs that if they really just locked into their defense, they would have had it. But they let, honestly, they let Travis Kelce cook too much because he was getting too much yardage. Like every time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every time it was thrown to him, he was getting 20 yards at least. Like,
bro, I was so disappointed, especially at the end. Like after halftime, I noticed that like the 49ers defense was like kind of falling apart. It's like they stopped trying. But like my issue was that the 49ers had multiple good looks. They got some interceptions in there, could just never convert. Mm-hmm. Like every time they got something that would shift the favor into their momentum, they just throw their possession away, not get past the first down. And then, like, at the very end when they missed that touchdown, like, when, like, that fucking, like, incomplete pass on the third. So now they have to kick the ball off. Like, they have to do a field goal to not risk, like, losing the ball. And I was just like, bro.
Yeah. But correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that the play that won the Chiefs this Super Bowl was very similar to the play that they had the last time that they played the 49ers in the Super Bowl, that won them the game as well.
They probably did, yeah. Yeah, like, I think what made it, like, worse was that, like I said, the three, all they had to do was lock in defensively, and they just did not. They let too many, like, they allowed too much yardage at the end. Mm-hmm. And the worst part was, is that, the part that stings is that this wasn't necessary. Like, the one blocked PAT in, like, the regular game was like a 49ers, like was from the 49ers, and they could have won the game if they had made that damn kick. Mm. It would have been 2019 and not 1919.
Mm.
That's why the conversion is always important. 1 point does not sound that important, but I swear to God, it genuinely is.
As we've seen, it's the difference between a Super Bowl or no bowl.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess to commend the Chiefs, they've now won 3 in the past 5, like, Super Bowl games.
Yeah, and people are already starting to glaze, drawing comparisons between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah,
and
that was
Patrick
ridiculous.
Mahomes and Kobe Bryant. They're just glazing hard. But
bro, you getting glazed more than a damn apple fritter.
Yeah.
But, like, yo, okay, side note. His dad, like, you know, his dad in his mugshot was one of the funniest things I've seen in a minute.
Yeah, but, I mean, now you have to commend him because it was a fair game. The 49ers played probably one of the best games of their lives, but they just...
I disagree.
They couldn't... They played a lot better than... other teams. We're not going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens. And that,
oh, yeah. No. Let's not talk about the Lions either, who the Pistons cursed.
I would say they had a good showing. I take back the previous comment that I made about it being one of their better games or one of their best games. They had a very good showing. I would say that because that score was close and it was a very doable and winnable game. But, you know, they just had a breakdown in defense and that cost him severely.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the Chiefs, I heard this was an off year for the Chiefs, too. So, dear Lord, bro.
Mm.
Yeah, but the script is real. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me at the very end, like, you couldn't look at it and see, like, once they barely scraped by the 49ers I'm talking about, once they barely scraped by that field goal, I was like, bro. The Chiefs are going to get a touchdown. They're going to bullshit their way into... you know Mahomes is going to pull something out of his ass. Even though I do understand Mahomes is a great QB. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I get it. He's like a prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not like already like... Not a legend, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Michael Jordan comparisons. No, those are OD.
Yeah. I'm saying the glaze was considerable. And still is. They've been riding high.
Do you think that Mahomes is the next Brady? Or do you think he's comparable to Brady?
Comparable right now, no. But I feel like he could be let into a couple more conversations about GOAT status. He's not there yet, but he can be. He has his foot in the door for those conversations. You know, he's someone you can mention.
Yeah.
Who has potential to do so, but comparable, no.
I don't like saying this, but he is a dog. You got to give it to him there. But he's not a GOAT yet, but, you know, he's got a couple of years to prove that.
He has many more years of hard work to prove that to everyone.
Yeah. Also, I know we've been fucking, like, avoiding this, but Swiftie Mania and Travis Kelce and you-know-who and
Cinderella story, it all...
That's why I'm saying it's scripted. Even Biden said it was scripted. He said, nice job, Chiefs, just like as we planned.
Mm.
But, do you think Swiftie Mania will ever end? It's like we can't avoid her. She's
not
everywhere.
Ending anytime soon.
She's everywhere.
I'll tell you that. She is everywhere. But I'd say you can't mention the NFL without somewhat alluding to or mentioning Taylor Swift now.
Yeah.
She and NFL are just two peas in a pod.
I cannot believe that the Swift was a fan of a football team for literally a couple of months, and then immediately had her team win the Super Bowl.
If
bullshit.
You want to talk about conversions in the NFL, the Swift mania and just the takeover that she's had and the conversion that she's been able to do to the NFL is probably one of the biggest ones of them all.
Yeah, and Yeah, Travis Kelce, I remember the meme of him. Like, there's now a meme of him yelling at his coach and all that, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Did you actually see the comment that Antonio Brown had to say about that? He said what? If that was him, he would have been kicked out the league.
Probably. It's just too profitable. The relationship is too profitable all for that to just end in the next couple of months. Is she going to write a song about him?
Mm.
All right, then. But, of course, we got to get into the real meat of the Super Bowl, the Usher halftime. What are your thoughts?
You know, it was a nice little blast from the past. I enjoy Usher songs. I enjoy him as an artist. I feel like the songs they were playing were definitely very vibey, make you want to move, make you feel a little bit electric. I would say it didn't compare to the last Super Bowl. Last Super Bowl was better. I don't feel like we got an upgrade.
With Riri?
Yeah, that was better. But if I had to rank him, I would give him... I'm gonna be a little harsh. I'm gonna give him a 5. Because I feel like it was just okay. I feel like he didn't pull out any stops or do anything show stopping.
I mean, to be fair, that's exactly how I rated him. I thought he was all right, like 5 out of 10. Nothing terrible. Mm-hmm. Picks up at the end, but it was also nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the most forgettable Super Bowls, like Super Bowl halftimes I can think of. Because in the next couple of years, I'm not going to care. But, like, I guess the most interesting part was him and Alicia Keys, which we... Mm-hmm. Did we already mention that? No, we didn't.
We did not.
Because, Super Bowl, we didn't. Mm-hmm. So, like...
Now was our time.
Yeah, so we all know, if you've seen the halftime with Usher kind of sliding into Alicia Keys, kind of, like, holding her soft, you know, Valentine's Day just passed by. But, like, you know, I guess he was feeling the love with her. Especially when they were singing My Boo.
Yeah, they were booed up, if you will. And Swiss Beats, that man was getting cucked badly.
Yeah, more than Drake kissing fucking Sexy Red's belly. But he said he supported it. He tweeted about that.
Honestly, I feel like he was just trying to put on a bold face for the media.
Yeah, probably.
His intrusive thoughts definitely weren't that.
He wasn't that passive about it.
Yeah.
Way too docile. I don't buy it, but you know what? I mean, he said it was okay, so it's his words, not mine. But that also reminds me of, like, that Boondocks episode with Tom Dubois and, like, his wife, like, Sarah or some shit, the white lady.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how she gets swooned by Usher for the whole episode? He's trying to, like, win her back.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. But, like... Yo, Swiss Beats, I don't know what to say about you. I love Alicia Keys, but, like, dude.
Yeah, that's that damn Usher effect right there, man.
Yeah.
She got pulled in.
Yeah, I guess he's a magnet, bro. He is a chicken magnet.
But I mean, hey, Swiss Beats got her yesterday, Valentine's Day. They had their little, you know, their little thing, but yeah.
Yeah, but overall, it was all right. Like, again, my issue with Usher is just that I think it's out of his time. It's not his audience. Mm. Like, he'd be more appealing to, like, a 90s crowd or, like, an early 2000s. This is just not his era.
Yeah. I feel like Usher is very palatable, but he's definitely music of an older generation. Not to say Usher doesn't slap, but he's just not what... just new gen is listening to right now.
Oh yeah, it's not the right style, but like that's pretty much it for like our new segment. So
got to mention the unfortunate news about the parade that happened.
I was trying to avoid it, but I guess I can't avoid it. So unfortunately, following that, there was a parade celebrating, you know, the Chiefs' victory, held in Kansas City, of course. And someone had to ruin it, a fucking asshole of a shooter. You know, he terrorized the parade, shooting a bunch of people, resulting in 22 injured and one person dying, most of which the injured were children.
Yeah, I I was thinking that we could have just went without mentioning it, but I feel like it was important to bring some level of awareness to it.
Yeah, it's seriously unfortunate. As much as I didn't want the Chiefs to win, it's like it's still unfortunate that people have to fucking ruin situations like that. They deserve to, like, everyone deserves to be able to celebrate without having to worry about someone, you know, like blasting up the place.
Yeah, definitely. Especially so many innocent people.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, our condolences, like, to the family of the one person who died, and, like, and to the 22 who were injured. And we hope that you guys can recover. And we hope that this situation with all these, like, mass shooters and all that, like, it needs to get fixed. Yeah. Like, this is not acceptable for, like, the way our country is going, like... Over some damn celebration, over a damn sports game, bro. Over a
football game, bro. Yeah.
Bro, a game that we not even involved in, bro. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just, like, atrocious. That's all I gotta say.
Sports definitely evoke a lot of emotion, but I feel like, as people, we need to have some level of self-control so we don't let it really escalate there, because...
Oh, yeah.
It just... It's just sad.
Yeah, stuff like this happens. Need more rationality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunate to... I'm sorry to end off our new segment on a sad note, but we had to bring attention to it, like he said.
Mm-hmm.
But on a brighter side, we will move on to our main topic. And, of course, we cannot be the Black and Bold podcast and not mention Black History Month.
Yeah, happy Black History Month, y'all. To everybody listening, to all... the Black people in the world, under the sun, in the universe. Happy Black History Month to y'all.
Of course.
It's our month, February, and it feels good.
Yeah, so our main topic today is the Black Experience, Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start off with a couple of questions, and of course we'll give our answers to them. First off, what are your thoughts on Black History Month as a whole?
I feel like it's a... necessary month because of the historical impact that Black folks have had just on America and a million other cultures as well. I feel like we definitely need to be showered with some appreciation because literally a couple centuries ago, it was not that. And there needs to be some remembrance of all the prominent Black figures that have done for us and for others. So I feel like it is a very necessary month to have for us.
Yeah, so leading on into that question, some people argue, and believe it or not, some Black people too, they argue that Black History Month is like either pointless or redundant because it like segregates like Black accomplishments or like limits them to only one month when in reality it's American history and should be spread should be considered as American history, and therefore Black History Month kind of defeats the purpose of recognizing that. Do you agree?
I definitely see that perspective. I would say that I agree, but I do still feel that the month is important, but we should, of course, still be a part of American history as well as have our time to celebrate Black accomplishments. Just as we have time for like Independence Day, which celebrates America, I feel like we should just have our own specific thing. So the month is definitely still important. Both are very important.
Oh, yeah. Like, so in my personal opinion, I do believe Black History Month is important.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's like a time to commemorate and recognize all of like the Black accomplishments, all Black accomplishments and like a lot of things that Black people have done for the United States, like our troubles and strife. It's the best time like to be aware of that. I do kind of agree with like that are like the opposition. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand where it's coming from on a certain level. My only thing is that I would only agree with it fully if it were an ideal world. Like, idealistically or theoretically, it should be true.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like Black History Month is severely important because because it's not so accurately represented in American history. So we need just a month to have accurate representation of what Black history is and just spread that knowledge to just future generations and current generations and older generations, just so we have a time for celebration because we've done really so much.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going to say. And at least we're in agreement right there. So, Luxon, what is your heritage and how do you identify with it?
I come from a Haitian heritage of just Haitians. And how do I identify with it? I feel like I'm very accepting of my identity. I love it. I love the person that I am. I love being a part of my heritage and my culture because I feel like Haitians are a very superior race. I'm not saying over other people, but I'm saying they're kind of the shit, but not over other races. Like, I definitely have...
You mean great, not superior.
Great, yes. I'll use a synonym, but yeah, they're definitely great. I hear mostly great things, and Haitian Flag Day and Haitian Independence Day is pretty lit, and it's definitely a culture that I have a deep love and sense of community in, and that's just how I identify with it.
So you're proud of your like?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I am also of Haitian descent, but it regarding my identity with it personally, I'm in the boat where I'm proud of my heritage and my family culture. It's just that my family doesn't really partake in like the typical traditional Haitian culture. So me being Haitian, I'm like, I more so identify as Black American, so like me being Haitian doesn't really affect my identity as much as it would probably you. Well, certainly you, because like to me, it would be like if I was Jamaican, it probably wouldn't make a difference. I wasn't even aware that I was Haitian until like maybe like 2 years ago. Yeah, but like I am proud of like who I am. Like, my family is just typical Black American culture, you know, with the soul food and like the slightly Southern draw and like the Ebonics. Not really that, but but yeah, like I'm proud of it regardless of like whether or not like it's accurate to like who I specifically am. I will say on the one, like the other hand though, I would be very interested in learning more about Haitian culture. I've always been like interested in learning about it, you know, like Creole, like deep like Haitian ties, like in history. I am aware, like here's a fun fact for you guys. Haiti is the first like country in the Western Hemisphere to officially abolish slavery in 1802. And technically, like the Haitian country, like the Republic of Haiti as we know it, technically has never been like under slavery. It's never had slavery.
Yeah. They had like the first big revolution, right?
And it was like successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because prior
definitely to, love Haiti.
Yeah. Prior to that, Saint-Domingue, like which was a French territory, that was slavery induced. But like, you know, the Haitian, the actual Haitian citizens never did that. So long live Haiti.
Do you see yourself or are you involved in those celebrations of the Haitian culture, like Haitian Flag Day and Haitian Independence Day, regardless of if your family isn't that involved? Like, are you still like actively involved in that, like without your family?
I would say I'm involved as in I am aware of those days and I'll recognize it when it happens. But I don't typically go to, like, parties, for example. Or I don't congregate with, like, other people of Haitian descent. Though I would be open to it, certainly. Yeah, so, like, so speaking of which, being Haitian and all that, what defines being Black culturally? Do you want me to reword the question?
Yeah, sure.
So, like, I'll reword it and kind of change, like, the substance of the question. Do you think Haitian culture and, let's say, Black American culture and, like, Jamaican culture, do you think that all falls under
the
Black culture? Or do you think those are separate things? Is there one way to define Black culture?
I don't think there's just one standardized way to define Black culture. I feel like Black culture has multiple sides to it, multiple just facets and things like that. And I don't feel like there's just one standardized way of seeing Black culture, since it's so many other people involved within it, and it's not so linear, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I am one of those people who thinks that, like, there is no such thing as, like, Black culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have, like, Black American culture, you can have Haitian culture, you can have, I don't know, you can have Namibian culture, like we were saying mm-hmm. earlier. It's like, it's all different cultures with some overlap because of, like, shared history for some, like, cultures. Like, some Caribbean countries might have, like, similar cultures to each other simply because of that. But I would say it's all different cultures. They just happen to be Black, like, performed by Black people.
Mm.
Like, it's like saying that, I don't know, Japan, like, Japanese, Thai, and, like, Indian culture are all synonymous because it's Asian culture.
Mm.
And I would say that's not accurate. So it's important to recognize the differences because, like, everyone's, like, proud of their culture. They should be proud of their culture.
Mm.
Like, that, and it's the fact that, you know, it's always worth, like, you know, diversity is good. It's worth, like, recognizing different cultures and understanding them as their own unique entities rather than this is a monolith of these specific things that are shared just because they have the same skin color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but have you ever had trouble fitting in, like, with, I don't know, Black American culture or Haitian culture or any one of the two?
Honestly, I would say no, since I kind of had, like, the best of both worlds. I just kept my Haitian roots still being heavily involved in the Haitian culture in my household, and just going to school every day and having that community within my school as well and being a part of both worlds, I wouldn't say I've had any issues, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's a little bit different. So the Haitian part, I already told you, it doesn't really affect anything about me, like, culturally or how I fit in. But Black American definitely has, because I went to private school, and most of the time, like, I was surrounded by a lot of white people.
Mm.
Like, I already mentioned this in the microaggressions episode. You know, I went to a private school that was borderline Catholic school.
Mm.
And the amount of Black people at that school I could count on, like, my hands.
Yeah, it was a bunch of dudes and bras.
Yeah, and even, like, with the girls' school nearby, it was not any better. It was, mm-hmm. like, it was bleached out, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyways, like, with that, you know, there's going to be some cultural disconnect. There's going to be some things, like, I remember we were talking in the microaggressions episode how people acted like they'd never seen a Black person before.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, also just, like, personality things, because I've been, like, raised in those environments, I feel like certain times there's, like, a cultural disconnect between me and other Black Americans simply because I think sometimes my interests or maybe the way I carry myself is seen as white. You know, like, the Oreo phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. The Oreo whitewashed sort yeah. of.
Yeah, basically, for mm-hmm. those who don't know, it's, like, It's Oreo just means you're Black on the outside, but you're white on the inside. And when I was little, like, when I was just a little bit younger, I always had, like, issues with that perception because, mm-hmm. like, I think someone had called me that at one point, like, when I was, like, I think it was, like, an after-school program because I don't live in the same city and I'm not in as affluent of, like, of a position as you might think I am going to a private school in a rich town. But yeah, so when I hung out with some kids, it's like, you know, it's easy for them to call you Oreo, and then you feel bad because you don't feel like you belong with either one.
Yeah, I don't agree with that perspective because that's extremely just exclusionary.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, sometimes you just got to learn to embrace it. And also think that I've gotten a little bit more inversed with Black culture anyways, ironically. So it's not like I felt out of place, especially when coming to UConn. Because you meet so many people, like, I think what I needed to do was go to, like, a public school or something like that and just experience, like, a vast array of diverse people, you know, viewpoints, cultures, and, like, general feelings, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, yeah,
you find people school, fit. Yeah. Public school, for me, it was a very just diverse grouping of people, so I can't exactly empathize with your perspective, really, but I mean, I definitely would say that public school, it's that's a good way to just see more of like the Black American side of things, I would say, since you just get
there's just more Black people.
Yeah, and it's more diverse, so it's just more just American melting pot.
Yeah, honestly, like just saying this, public universities are kind of underrated. They seem pretty dope, especially when you're comparing them. Like, I remember my list of colleges included places like Bucknell, like a place called Swarthmore in Pennsylvania. Bates College in Maine, and I'm just going to look up the population for Bates, like, for example. I think UConn has about, like, 20,000 students. It's not even the largest, college, like, remotely in the country, but it's still pretty damn big.
Yeah.
But, like, the population of Bates is, like, 1,800. That's less than 2,000 people.
Bro, that's like a city, bro. A very small city.
That's not a city. That's like that would be like a. That's tiny. That's all I gotta say. Yeah. That would be like a maybe a stadium, like less than a stadium's worth of people.
Yeah, that would be probably like the south side of Stanford, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
literally a singular side of Stanford.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, I like this large population. It's like you have more access to like people. Different environments.
It was more like a high school.
Yeah.
Very interconnected since it's just so little people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, looking at Swarthmore, there's only 1,625 people.
That's like three times my graduating class, I'm not gonna lie.
Yo, did you know that my middle school, I went to a middle school before I went to Brunswick, like called Mead. Like, it was in North Stanford, private school, North Stanford, like, Pound Ridge area. That shit was, like, 8 people in my graduation class.
Oh, nah. For middle school? Yes. Let me see if I recall how many people were in mine. Maybe, if I had to put a number on it, probably, like, think about, A, B, C, that was 20. Maybe, like, 100 kids.
Yeah.
Right around 100 kids from my middle school graduation. But yeah.
Yeah, anyways, so that's like a good grip on how barren it was. It was just like a desert for diversity. But I'm glad that I'm here at UConn now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but speaking of UConn, what are the difficulties that have come with being a Black person at UConn? Or in America as a whole, whichever one you choose.
I would say, I would say just not always feeling welcomed in, like, certain spaces since it is, like, a PWI and it is a vastly large number of white students here and not really... You know, you have your areas of diversity and your little cultural centers and things of that nature, but, like, in the grand macro level of the campus, like, it majority of the time you're seeing just a lot of white people, and you're gonna have to enter some of those spaces, like going to like a dining hall or going to class, and you may not always feel the most welcome just because you feel like you're a loner there. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. My personal opinion, I feel like there are not enough like spaces for minority groups. It's like you have your token like cultural centers or cultural spaces or whatever.
There's some orgs too.
There are, but I feel like they're not. It's not that they're not prominent enough, but I feel like on a certain level they don't reach out enough, or I just don't hear about them often. So it's like it's not in my mind most of the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say another thing is that like talking about Black American culture and stuff, there can be a cultural disconnect from like the majority group because it's like this is like a very minor example, but I remember when we were looking at Uconic and like all the potential options, you'll have like a lot of white people go for like rock or like country type stuff, and then I'm over here like, well, I'd clearly want, like, I don't know, a boogie with the hoodie.
Yeah, I mean, life is literally just run on the majority, so it's literally whatever the majority picks is what it's going to be, so.
It's understandable, but still.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's the majority, so that's just how it's going to go. And it's not that I'm complaining in this specific sense. It's more like a minor nitpick. Like, you know, like, especially even here at, like, WHUS, like, I love it here, but my music interest is just not the same as some of these. These people will be, like, talking about, like,
disconnects.
Yeah, about how they know, like, Peach Pit and, like, I don't know, there's, I don't know, some local, like, some local music, like, artist. And it's not that, like, I'm so in tune with every musical person out there.
Yeah. Boy Genius.
Yeah, and Boy
it's Genius. Just, like, some of them is just, like, I may have heard about them, but they're not really a part of my own, like, musical preferences. Yeah, so, like, then, I've never really digged deep enough to be a fan of them.
Yeah. If I talked about Kendrick, some might be, like, be cool with it.
Yeah. Like, Kendrick's pretty, he's pretty out there. He's pretty large.
Yeah. Some people have straight up told me that they don't care, like, about me talking about, like, Travis Scott, and I'm like,
oh, damn, it's just a disconnect right there.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm gonna tell you when I don't care about fucking, I don't know, I forgot the names.
I don't care about Boy Genius, really, or Peach Pit, like you just mentioned.
Yeah, I was like I don't give a crap when you talk about Boy Genius. Like,
literally, I didn't hear about Peach Pit prior to you just saying their name, so that just goes to show. Difference in taste.
Oh yeah, that reminds me of the time. Remember our friend was talking about like a Creep, like a radio from Radiohead, and I like and I told her that like I have no idea what the fuck this song is, and she
neither
was,
did I.
She was making me look crazy because like how could you not know this song, and like because she had quoted it and said I am a creep, I am a weirdo.
Yeah,
but like I listened to the song, and it's alright, but like it's not bad. But I was like. I tried, like, I asked Luxon, like, do you know this song at all? And he was like, no. And I was like, so it's not just me who's crazy. You just have a different taste than I do. And it might be Fringe. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just saying that. But that got me. I wasn't, like, pissed off or anything. But at the same time, you know, cultural disconnect. It's fine. Yeah, but, like, yeah, aside from that, it's just, like, minor things. But overall, it's not anything that really hurts. It's more like you just notice it, especially when you're, like, around people, like, a lot, around these people.
Yeah, because some of these, I more recently got into indie, and I've been hearing a bit more, like, indie artists, and I realized that I've heard multiple of their songs, but I've just never really known the names of the artist or just the whole world of indie. And I mean, it's just, we're getting there, but there's still a lot I don't know.
Yeah, on the bright side, like, I'll say this, on the contrast, there are some people who do, there's like a cultural like connection, like some people, like I have a friend, like someone who works here, loves Kendrick, you know. Mm. You know, like Drake, you know. Mm. He likes Frank Ocean a lot. Mm. He knows Anderson. You know, a bunch of good black artists. SZA. Mm. And it's like, so I can have conversations with them and relate to them over certain songs that I do like. So it's not like fully dead. I'm just pointing out the disconnects, of course. Mm.
All right, well, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. This is the Black and Bold podcast, where we talk about interesting news and relevant topics each week. You can catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the WHUS website, and you're listening to us on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I'm Luxon.
I'm Nashawn.
And have a good-ass day.
And also remember to keep an eye out for part 2.